Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Oh, it's a glorious day of celebration, baseball in Chicago, and we are broadcasting live from the Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Stage, Blue Cross Blue Shield through it all, and thanks to the fine folks at Nuts on Clark. They provided popcorn for all of our listeners this morning and for us, and we are delighted to welcome in Tommy Hodovy, the Cubs pitching coach. Got a big game today, a big weekend, at least from our
big
perspective.
Weekend. How was your day off?
How you doing?
It was good. It was good. I think on the pitching side, there's not many days off anymore. I've played catch with Matt Boyd in a parking lot in L.A., Jason Tyon in Central Park on an off day. So, you know, we're busy.
Who'd you play catch with yesterday?
Yesterday was Kate. Kate came in. It was good to get him, you know, moving around the day before the game. But, yeah, it's a big weekend. It's fun for us. It's always a good time when we play the White Sox. It's fun that they're playing well, too. So it should be a fun weekend.
Yeah, they were doing awfully as expected. And then they're 500 this month, so you know at least they're competitive, as we say in the business. What's it like with Cade? I mean, what is it like for a guy coming up, making his debut, going through what you went through? I mean, you used the opener. We all talked about that. Well, have you seen that lineup with the Mets? I'm just curious how you know you've been through that coming up and having a start. It's a crazy reality, your first go round at anything. Do you feel a special part of it when you have a young guy like that coming in?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing we try to do is make the best decision to have our pitchers have success. That's what it boils down to. And getting to know the player, what you feel like makes them tick, what will make them be successful. Like, look, we want them to be as successful. Their first game, their debut, to be the most successful outing they possibly can. And so sometimes you think of situations that you can put them into to help with that. And when you look at that Mets lineup and a kid who's coming in to make his debut in that stadium, you know, it made sense to us to go with a guy who we knew could kind of control the top of that lineup. And we want to win the game too.
Yep.
That's the other part. Like, we're trying to win that game. And we talk about all the time, there's the third time through the order stuff and all the things that I know David doesn't like this.
I like this.
So I'm gonna try to sell it before I turn to David for the comments. But you know, Cade was only at 78 pitches
right
when he came up. So
yes.
So we knew there was probably not going to be a good chance for him to get to that third time through the order with the top of the lineup. So starting with Keller gave us a good opportunity to get through that pocket, get Cade on a nice run, and then hopefully like take him as deep in the game as possible. It ended up getting him the win. If he had not gone opener, we wouldn't have got the win the first.
That's a good point. I mean, and I think the Mets are a special circumstance because it doesn't have the same situation today, with due respect to the White Sox. They don't have Alonso at the top of the lineup with Ron Soto and all the things. I get that. The thing that I said was that maybe it was overthinking it. Maybe you were creating the perception that maybe this was somebody who needed to be handled in a way that he didn't need to be handled. Because if you're Cade Horton, you're coming into the situation today. You're merging on the Chicago sports scene. Number one draft pick. yeah, he's coming off an tough injury and surgery and all those things, but this is a guy I don't think has, and you would know much better than I do, but I'm curious what his makeup is like. This is a competitor. This is a guy that wants to attack hitters. He wasn't fazed from the outside looking in by the New York moment. And I don't think he'll be fazed today making his first major league start against the White Sox at Wrigley Field. I think he's probably, some guys are built for this. He strikes me as somebody built for this.
I don't disagree with that at all. I think Cade is an ultra competitor. He's very poised. Trying to find the right word to describe him. He is intense. That's probably the best way. He's very intense. And some of that intensity can look like anxiety mm-hmm. or nervousness, but it's not. It's an intense focus, and he knows what he needs to do to be successful. And sometimes when you're heading into a big moment, there's a way you can control that a little bit to kind of give him that opportunity to kind of, make it not as big of a moment, I guess, is what we're saying. And Cade, Cade's great because he's like, that's fine. I'm going to get whoever out.
It worked, Tommy. So it was a great decision, right?
Yeah, there you go.
It worked.
For Cade, like he's going to come in today and he's going to come into the game plan in our pregame meeting, and he's going to be very dialed in about what he wants to do. And there's going to be lineups where Cade is going to have to navigate some of those hitters, but there's also going to be lineups where his stuff is just going to beat. He has elite stuff. I'm excited to see him kind of take on that full environment today at Wrigley Field.
We asked you, like, what's it like pitching for the first time? That must be crazy in the big leagues. But I'm curious, is it different for him now? The challenge might be from being on the road to being at home. The energy in Wrigley is so incredible, probably unique in all of baseball. I just wonder how that gets you. Do you have to somehow deal with your emotions? Because who was the kid that came up, Ballesteros? That guy was like getting a standing ovation every time he went to bat. I felt so bad for the kid. Like, calm down, everybody. But what would that be like for him? And what was it like for you kind of dealing with that for the first time?
Yeah, for me, it was a long time coming. Yeah. I wasn't 24 like Cade. I was 30, almost 30 when I made my debut in Fenway Park.
Wow.
And so, yeah, it meant a lot to me, obviously, just having gone through what I went through to get to that point. But for a guy like Cade, I tell people all the time, when it's such a special place to get to work at Wrigley Field every single day. And when I walk out to the bullpen at 12:40 for a 120 game with the starter, just when the bleachers are packed, the fans give you an ovation, it is an adrenaline rush, and I'm not even pitching. So when we talk to the pitchers about that, there's a lot of times they walk through those doors and they're just like, "Whew, that was awesome, that was sweet," and it's just like you feel the environment and the intensity and stuff. So that'll be really cool. But once you get into your warm up routine, once you start feeling that glove pop and you hear it in there, it's kind of I equate it to like when I played football in high school and stuff, and I was like, I always have to be on the kickoff team because I needed to hit something or get hit, and then I'd be fine, just kind of settle in. And I kind of equate it to that.
So you ever ask counts just give you forearm shiver?
There you go.
We're getting the dugout.
Popping pads in the dugout.
Cade's an old quarterback, right?
Yeah.
He was a pretty good quarterback, as I recall.
Yeah. He went to OU as a QB.
Yeah, that's pretty wild.
So. Cade Horton was at Oklahoma when Caleb Williams was there. And now they're both the best right-handers in town.
That's pretty special. That's pretty cool.
All right, so we could talk to you about a lot of things, but I'm finding it very interesting on you. You've been here a while now, and it seems like there's something that always is consistent. And this year, it seems like it's more prevalent. These, I don't want to call them reclamation projects, but you have a lot of guys who come here and they find success. Brad Keller was a former starter. He's here playing a pretty big role in this bullpen. Drew Pomeranz, I'm not quite sure the last time he pitched in the majors, 5 years or so, but it's been a while. Yeah. He's come here, and he got a save the other night. You look at a guy like Chris Flexen. He did not have a good year last year with the White Sox. He's coming here, and looks like he's going to play a significant role. How do you start over with guys who have had success and then failure, maybe trying to relearn something at the major league level? Because you seem to have a good knack for doing that with guys who come here to be fixed.
Yeah, I think we're at a time in baseball where guys are starting to learn more about the analytics of the game, how pitches play, how pitches move, what pitch data is telling you, how to use TrackMan and Edgetronic Video, all these things. Guys are going home now and building their own like labs. You're seeing that more and more, you know, across the game. So guys are learning more. That doesn't mean they know everything, you know, about how to use the tech and what's telling you. Guys want to learn. They want to learn. So we take the approach, and for me, it probably more because I was a player and I wanted this to be that way. Like, coaches help guide you down the path. I think the older school coaches and the coaches that I had when I was coming up were told you, like, you have to do X, Y, and Z to be successful. That's still the case, but now the players are the ones that are saying, okay, if I do this, this, and this, I will be successful. It's different if the coach is telling you to do it versus if you're taking it on yourself. And I think the learning process of helping guys understand what makes them very successful and what's going to take them, you know, further in their career, I think is extremely important.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Are veterans who maybe are coming off bad experiences or struggling experiences more receptive to that kind of instruction than young guys?
I think so, because the younger guys are more they've worked in it and been in it for, you know, their whole career since they've been drafted. The veteran players have a lot of thoughts in their head, you know, with people that have taught them and told them how to do things over, you know, a long period of time, and it's debunking the things that they thought were working for them and how you can kind of steer them in different and make them think about things a little differently. You have a guy like Matt Boyd who's had a ton of injury history.
Great example.
And has had, you know, a lot of things put in his head about this is what you need to do to be successful, all these things. And so he gets here and he loves to talk. He loves to talk about his mechanics, loves to talk about how his stuff's playing, and some of it's right and some of it's, you know, a little off. So we're trying to be the bumpers on the bowling lane so they just don't go into the gutter. You know, just keep them kind of nudging them down the path, and you use information to help show them. You also just when you make a minor suggestion, hey, this grip, if you just tweak it just a little bit, it's going to add 2 inches of horizontal movement. And then they do it and it happens. They're like, how did you know that was going to happen? It's just physics. You know, we've been able to use tech and data to kind of give us those examples. So it's been fun. The veteran guys that have had success, maybe struggled a little bit, are some of the hungriest guys to want to get better. And that's what's really fun for us to work with.
So you mentioned Matt Boyd, and he's an example, as is Horton, a good example of guys that you got to kind of be aware of their innings, guys you got to be, you know, kind of vigilant about in terms of just figuring out. I mean, listen, it's very early in the year, and we're not trying to get ahead of ourselves, but you also have to be aware that you got to get through the whole year, and you got to have – and Matt Boyd has been injured for a couple of years and hasn't really put a ton of innings together. Is that different from a guy that has already been hurt, but, you know, is got a young arm and he's, you know, hasn't had the big innings, but you're trying to build that up?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think no matter how we're looking at inning load for guys, in the past, I always say I keep going to back to the past. In the past, it was you were basically going off straight inning work.
Yeah.
You know, it's like guy threw 80 innings last year. He can only throw 110 this year.
Yeah.
You can 20% or, you know, 15% load or whatever you want to come up with. That's great. We just have so much more information now
right.
to use.
Right.
You know, we have guys that throw every single day with catapult, which you see a lot. It came up in soccer was a big sport to kind of look like start catapult and like really track workload.
Right.
Forever, we only had what you could do in a bullpen, what you could do in a game to actually track pitches thrown. So now we track everything the guys do. And it gives us a better understanding of how their body is responding to different workload and stuff. So I guess to answer your question, the guys that that have gone through injuries but have had you know, full loads in previous seasons kind of know what they need to do to get back to that point. The younger guys, you have to be very diligent about, you know, hey, today you need to have a light throwing day because your load is starting to increase. We need to back you off. We need to be very, you know, smart about how you're building back up.
I'm sure you hear all the time the Cubs' main problem or main concern moving forward to be the contender that we know you can be is the bullpen and the back end of the bullpen specifically. What's the smartest way to have us discuss what's going on with the bullpen and what the solution might be to get the last three outs or who's going to pitch the ninth? Ryan Pressly has struggled. Porter Hodges had some success and then struggled. You have some other guys in Palencia that looks like they might fit the role. What's the best way to approach this bullpen crisis, if you want to call it that, or situation?
I said this in spring training. Don't worry about who's closing games right away. You know, like let guys – because the minute you pencil somebody in there, there's going to be a stretch where they struggle. So it's a bigger deal when you're like, this is the closer. Now we got to take him out of that role to work on something. We're going to put somebody else in there, and then he's going to go for a while. That's normal for pitchers. There's going to be a stretch where they need to get work. So when you label somebody, he's our closer, and then you inevitably have to pull him from that role for a little bit of time to work on some stuff, it's a bigger deal. Instead of saying like, hey, I look at it as more like high leverage, medium, low leverage guys. You have your high leverage guys. They're going to pitch the majority of your innings when you're ahead late in the game. If one of those guys struggles and one of the medium leverage guys starts to, you know, improve and get better and get on a run, you can flip-flop guys and say like, hey, right now we're going to give you a week. We're going to give you more medium leverage because we want to get you consistent work and we want to get you better. All of that is so that by the end of the year, by August, September, we are all peaking at the same time. And there's going to be stretches throughout the year. We have, you know, Porter Hodge going on an absolute run and strike out some of the best guys in the game. And you know, Press struggled. And then now you have, you know, Merriweather carried some good load early and he struggled the last two. And Keller stepped up and Palencia stepped up. So they're kind of in, you know, interchangeable parts that that we want to continue to get better as a group. It's not easy. I will say it's not easy for them to be like, okay, am I high leverage today? Am I low leverage today? Where am
right.
I at? And so that falls on us as coaches to communicate with that with them and make sure they're on the same page.
Especially when you have a guy like Pressly who did close and then last year in Houston was a setup guy. And the perception was, or the report was, that he needed an assurance before coming here that he would be that ninth inning guy. So you're dealing with a lot of pride and a guy who's had some success and now probably having to back off a little bit. So that's tricky, too, probably to navigate.
Yeah, it is. And you know, for Pressly, you talk about a guy who's an ultra competitor, and I've been fortunate enough to be around him, you know, a lot of his career and see him grow. He's not satisfied when he – like, yes, he wants to be the closer. He wants to be in that role and he wants to be closing down games for the Chicago Cubs. But he also knows when he's not quite right and he's getting close. And for him to know what he needs to do to work on to be successful and to grow, again, it goes back to those veteran guys. He's had a ton of success. I mean, it's like almost 12 years in the big leagues of pitching high leverage innings. But he knows. He knows he's close. He knows what he needs to do to be successful. So yeah, that's the way I would say, like, in May, you're talking about mid-May, mm-hmm. how you would view a bullpen. That's kind of where I am, and ultimately we're going to get to a point where you're going to look up, and you guys are going to be watching the game. You'll be like, all right, here comes X, here comes Y, here comes Z. You know who's coming in the game in those moments.
I'm curious, like, with a guy like Jameson Taillon, right? So we've been talking about him because you're down a couple pitchers. Now he's got to be the top guy, and he's, you know, and he's pitched fine. It's just he's given up these home runs, like solo home runs. You give up three hits. You know, I think he gave up four hits, but three of them are solo home runs. Yeah. And that's like, you just kind of like, yeah, like just whatever you do, don't do that. I don't know how you deal with that. Or and he's, we know what he's a total pro, but I just wonder how. What do you do in that situation? What do you say to him?
I just wrote down. I was going to write down. Just don't do that.
I think that's a good brilliant. Place
to whatever start. You that's do, brilliant. Don't do that.
You know, it's a funny problem for J-Mo to have right now. Because yeah. The one thing for our team and what we've really, I feel like, grown as a group over the last probably 2 or 3 years is we have a group that will attack the strike zone. We're one of the lowest walk rates in baseball. I think we're like fourth or fifth in baseball right now. That's walk great. Rate. We lead the league in first pitch strike rate. We are not afraid to come at hitters. We did that. We went into Dodger Stadium and basically just came right yeah. at that lineup. And a problem to have for J-Mo is the 7 homers he gave up in the last 2 games, 5 of them were 2 strikes. You know, and I think 4 of them were 1-2 counts. So, like, getting to – if we're talking – at the end of the year, we're talking about, like, hey, execute with 1-2, we're going to be in a good spot. And I think for J-Mo, he throws so many strikes, it's getting him to trust that, like, okay, I'm ahead. Yeah. I can yeah. get out of the strike
right,
zone.
Right,
that's a
right.
Big
that's interesting.
We only got a minute left. Colin Ray, I have called the MVP, most valuable pitcher, just because of the different roles he has played and maybe the unexpected success he has had. What's been his secret?
Using the four seam more, his arm slot's a tick lower than what it was in the past, and metrically, when you look at the data, it wouldn't like suggest you that it's an elite fastball. But the approach angle's up, the velo's up. I know he threw a lot of sinker cutter combo with the Brewers the last couple of years, and we just really liked the way the four seam was playing. So really pushing that at the top of the zone.
Great stuff, Tommy. Thank you a ton. Really
thanks
appreciate
for being
it.
Here.
Great
having
seeing
awesome.
You.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming
great,
down.
Great
make sure you make sure
here.
You load up on popcorn before you go
yeah.
to the game.
Thank you.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their 6-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The 4-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.